several weeks ago in our Sunday morning Bible class, this question came up concerning what people refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Answered it kind of briefly during that class discussion. I thought, I have notes on this, and I might be able to make a presentation in a little more detail. And so that's what this is this evening. So in your notes, I put just the title of the Lord's, and then I put the model or sample prayer. I got a little bug flying around. So let's read the two situations where it's recorded first in Matthew and Luke. Matthew records it this way, and I put the whole thing in your notes so you'll have reference for it. It said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Luke records it. He said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now there's the two illustrations, or the two records we have of that. The reason why this is sometimes a topic, because a visitor may come into our assembly, and they'll sometimes ask, "Why didn't you recite the Lord's Prayer during that assembly?" So I've given you just eight reasons, or at least an answer to that question. Why don't we repeat this prayer? So number one, there's no command to do it in unison or chorally in the New Testament. This is the only record we have of this particular prayer, as recorded in Matthew and Luke. It's absent everywhere else in the New Testament. It's not in the letters to the churches. If it was, to me, just thinking out loud, if it was intended to be repeated, instructions would have been given for us to do it that way. But then it's absent in instructions about saying this thing in unison, this prayer in unison. Just not stated. It's the Bible is silent on that observation. Why don't you say it in unison? The Bible never says it, not a reference to it. Not one. Okay. Second, along that same line, there's no example of Jesus, the apostles, or the New Testament church doing it. Jesus gave this prayer, and it right in that, that's why I quoted it for you on the top, as a pattern in response to the disciples' request. In Luke 11, verse 1, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." So he's answering a request. If it played to me a significant part in the New Testament church, it would have been noted in the New Testament letters. Paul would have said, "Oh, don't forget to say this prayer," but he doesn't say that. So two things, and we always say this in our assemblies or our Bible classes, why do we do what we do or don't do something? It has reference to a command or an example. And if there's no command, no example, then we don't do that. So we look at this, then Jesus records this instructional prayer, or this model or sample prayer, but there's no, these two things, no command and no example in the New Testament to repeat it in a choral way. Number three, if the intent was to repeat the prayer verbatim or as a choral, in unison, then why do Matthew and Luke differ in their accounts? If we were going to recite this prayer in unison, how would you know which one to recite? Would some of you be saying, have learned Matthew's instruction, or did you memorize Luke's? Which one would you say? And some might be saying one and some might be saying the other. Then we have confusion. And no, we don't want that. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So today's religious people, they place a great emphasis on his recitation. Great emphasis. But again, which is correct? And again, no mention of it any place else. And especially Paul never writes, oh, and don't forget to repeat this prayer in his letters to the churches. He never says that. Number four, the Bible doesn't call it the Lord's Prayer. Somebody somewhere in history designated this with that title, and it's stuck. The Bible does not say this is the Lord's Prayer. It just doesn't. It gives no significance to this prayer other than the response from Jesus to the disciples' request. Nowhere in the Bible is there a command or a hint that this model prayer should be recited verbatim. The Apostle Paul prays for brethren in his letters to the churches, doesn't he? Over and over again. But he never refers to this prayer. He mentions his prayer for the brethren. He says, brethren, pray for me. But he doesn't say, in your prayer for me, don't forget to say this prayer. No, not there. Absent. Doesn't request others to say this prayer in his letters to the churches. So it's another line of reasoning in answer to the question that people ask, why don't you say this prayer in the assembly? Number five, it leaves out other instructions concerning prayer. We close our prayers in Jesus' name. That's Bible. We say amen. Jesus said in John 14, verse 13, whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we, in our prayers, we say, in Jesus' name. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, Paul told Timothy, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So when we address the Father, we pray in Jesus' name. God, we come to you in the name of Jesus by that authority. We're to pray for others, for kings, that we may lead a peaceful and tranquil life in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But this prayer doesn't say anything about praying for those in authority. But yet those in authority. In Colossians 3, verse 7, it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You see any thanksgiving in that instructional prayer? Thanksgiving is absent. But yet over and over again in Paul's letters to the churches, he gives thanks in his prayer. You see, so there's some things that are missing. Number six, I put this prayer as an instructional prayer or a pattern or a formula. It's after this manner. It's kind of like an outline. It doesn't really say, I want you to pray this in these exact words. It doesn't say that. We're encouraged to develop a prayer life. We're encouraged in Paul's letters to the churches to pray for others. Again, that 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men. It would be awkward for someone who's sick and they said, pray for me. And I go, okay, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And wouldn't it? They want me to pray for their sickness, for them to be healed. It's not in that prayer. But many times people in trouble, they'll say, let's repeat this prayer. I say, no, I'm thinking, if I'm in trouble, I'm going to say, Lord, help me. Lord, bless me. Give me strength from above. I'm going to develop a prayer life. See? Not just repeat this prayer verbatim, even by myself, or especially not as necessarily as a congregation. In James 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. In James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another But I'm, if you're confessing your faults to me and you want me to pray for you for your forgiveness, it's not in this prayer. So that we don't recite this in our prayer life. We don't see that to be the intent, not in unison or all together. This model prayer is not exalted above other prayers that are mentioned in the Bible. This is not like you say, oh, let's rank our prayers and well, this is number one. This prayer is not exalted, lifted up high above any other of Paul's prayers. Situations like that. Number six, the phrase "Thy kingdom come," I put your obsolete, but it's fulfilled. So it's not valid anymore. During Jesus' earthly ministry, the kingdom was not in existence. So if I'm going to instruct you to pray, disciples, I want you to pray for the kingdom to come. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's some verses. In Mark 1, verse 15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Hasn't come yet. So when the disciples said, teach us to pray, so Jesus in his instructions says, include this phrase, thy kingdom come. In Matthew 3, verse 2, John the Baptist said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hasn't come yet. In Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not there yet. The kingdom's not in existence. So when Jesus giving these things you can say in your prayer, pray thy kingdom come. But no, it's been fulfilled. The kingdom is here. In Matthew 10, verse 12, Jesus mentions the 12, and as you go, he's sending them out. Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark 9, verse 1, he said to them, verily I say to you, there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom come with power. Kingdom's not here yet. So when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, all right, here's some things to say in your prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Logical instruction. This is what you can say in your prayers. But the kingdom of the church is here, therefore we don't need to pray for the kingdom to come. It's here. In Colossians 1, verse 13, Paul said, we've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, the kingdom, the church. In Hebrews 12, verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom, we've received a kingdom in that first century. Paul said, the Hebrew writer, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let's have grace. The writer is here. So we don't need to repeat this prayer verbatim or in a chorus fashion because one of the phrases has been fulfilled. We don't need to say that. Then the last one, but number 8, this is not the only recorded prayer of Jesus. So then why label this one? Somebody labeled it. The Bible didn't. But why label this one the Lord's Prayer? Why? Just a logical question. Why is this the Lord's Prayer? And not the others. You don't have them listed. I just put a sample in your notes. But here's the whole verse. These are the prayers of Jesus. Luke 3, verse 21. Came to pass when all the people were baptized that Jesus also having been baptized and praying, the heaven opened. Wonder what he said. We don't know. I'm just curious. Wonder what he said. In Luke 5, verse 16, he withdrew himself in the deserts and prayed. You think he said this prayer? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. Number 3, before choosing the 12, it says it came to pass in these days he went out to the mountain to pray. He continued all night in prayer to God. Did he say this prayer all night? Over and over and over again? Jesus prayed. When it was day, he called his disciples and he chose from them the 12 whom he named apostles. He prayed before feeding the 5,000. In Mark 6, verse 41, when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. This model prayer, this sample prayer, doesn't say anything about blessing the food. So it's an instructional prayer. We are to move beyond that. develop a prayer life, a conversation with God, expressing our needs for the moment. At the Transfiguration, in Luke 9, verse 29, and as he was praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Before announcing his death, in Luke 9, verse 18, it came to pass, as he was praying apart, the disciples were with him, but he asked them, saying, "Who do the multitudes say that I am?" So Jesus is praying many, many times. He was praying before he teaches his disciples this prayer. In Luke 11, verse 1, it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, that when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." They saw something in Jesus' prayer life that they wanted. Jesus, I see you praying. John taught his disciples to pray. Would you teach us to pray? He says, "Okay, after this manner, pray ye." He gave some instruction. In the upper room before his crucifixion in John 17, and there's 26 verses of Jesus' prayer. In John 17, verse 1, it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come." And then there's 25 more verses of the Lord's Prayer. 26 verses of the Lord's Prayer recorded. Before handing the bread to his disciples at his supper, in Luke 22:19, he took bread and gave thanks. Thanks is not mentioned in the instructional prayer. So we want to move beyond that and not just repeat that prayer verbatim or in choral style. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as he parted from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That's the Lord's Prayer. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's the prayer of Jesus himself, not teaching someone to pray. When he's on the cross, Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the Lord's Prayer. So many times we have the Lord's prayer recorded. Words of Jesus' own prayer. Care and concern for others or what's on his mind. So I'll put the last thing. Let's take a look just briefly. If someone said, "Brian, teach me to pray." Well, here's might be something I would say in the instruction. I say, first of all, the invocation. Sometimes if you're writing a letter, what's the first thing you're going to put? Dear so-and-so. So teach me to pray, just as you're teaching someone to write a letter. The address, the body, the closing. Same thing in prayer. First thing you do is address God. Our Father which art in heaven. So that's typically, we do that in conversation. We get someone's attention, call their name, then we start talking. We don't bow down or pray to Mary or a patron saint or to angels or images. Jesus said when he taught them to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." It's only to the Father, and his location is in heaven. You don't pray to anybody else. In the newspaper, have a section called Religious Announcements in the back, classifieds, small print. Said, "Sacred Heart of Jesus be adored, glorified, loved, and preserved throughout the world now and forever. Sacred Heart of Jesus, pray for us. Saint Jude, worker of miracles, pray for us. Saint Jude, help of the helpless, pray for us." And then it says, now if you say this prayer 9 times a day, by the 8th day, you will be answered. It's never been known to fail. Publication must be promised. My prayers have been answered. So you're supposed to write in, "I did that, and my prayers were answered." There's notes. Same thing. Thank Jude Novena. May the Sacred Heart of Jesus be adored, glorified, loved, and preserved throughout the world now and forever. So, Sacred Heart of Jesus, pray for us. Saint Jude, worker of miracles, pray for us. Saint Jude, helper of the hopeless, pray for us. Say this prayer 9 times a day. Your prayer will be answered by the 8th day. We pray, Our Father. That's the way Jesus prayed. His prayer, specifically stated and recorded, is Our Father which art in heaven. In John 17, he lifted up his eyes into heaven and said, Father. We pray to God. We address God in our prayers, in our opening. Then the next thing, we'd say, well, there's some adoration. Hallowed be thy name. So take a moment in your prayers to praise God. The Father in heaven, we adore you. We are in awe of you. You bless us over and over again. Give some adoration to God in your prayer. Hallow his name in your prayer. Number 3, give thanks. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Bound in our prayers. Thank you, God. Thank you. So address God in your prayer. This is not Brian's prayer. I'm giving you instruction on how to pray. Don't call this Brian's prayer. I have my prayers over and over again. But I'm going to teach you to pray. Address God. Hallow his name. Give thanks to God. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, I thank God whom I serve, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. So I thank you. Take some time to thank God. Number 4, I put you can ask, as Jesus instructed his brethren to give. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. God, I need you again today. I need you. Help me. Pray for safe journey, for decision, for well-being, for strength. The list can go on. Confess. Forgive us our trespasses, but as we forgive others. Meantime, we just pray, forgive us. But Jesus instructed them, forgive me as I forgive somebody else. Confess, forgive us our trespasses, again, as we forgive others. Submission, Jesus prayed that in the garden. Father, this cannot pass away except I drink it. Thy will be done. I pray that your will be done. This is on my mind. This is what I'm thinking is best. This is what I'm asking for, but your will be done. Submission. And then close. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Because of 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, one God, one mediator between God and man, one, the man Christ Jesus. Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we address God and we pray in Jesus' name. You don't have to include all. Don't think, I've got 7 points in my prayer. I leave any out of you, whatever's on your mind at the moment. But you don't have to repeat this instructional prayer. Not when there's a different need in your life or in the life of others that you're praying for. So, different kinds of prayer. So that's the lesson this evening. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Now, remember the New Testament church, you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you had that opportunity. You've heard the good news. You believe it. Now you're willing to turn your life around and submit in obedience. Just as Jesus did to the Father, I come to do thy will, O God. That's our purpose in life. God, I want to do your will. And his will is, when he sent the Great Commission out, preach the gospel to everybody. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. And that's a salvation issue. So we sing a song of encouragement at the close of every lesson. You're subject to it. That's your desire. That's your resolve. You simply respond in a public way this evening. Let's stand together. Dennis has appointed for us. Again, that's what's on your mind this evening. Just simply let that record.